Welcome to the Wall-E Pixar commentary done by the members of the Pixar Planet Forums. I'm the White Cookie Sheet on the forums.
I'm the Drive-In Theater.
And I'm Totoro.
To synchronize this commentary with your DVD, pause the video when Luxo Jr. appears in the Pixar logo, and when I say play, click play. 3, 2, 1, play.
I really like how they chose the music for the beginning of Wall-E, the Put On Your Sunday Clothes from Hello, Dolly. I was listening to the commentary, and they were talking about... he was talking about he wanted some French Wing music and then switched it to some other film decision. But I've tried to imagine it with different... like music, like more space, more eerie kind of feeling. And, it's hard to imagine. Cause, as they've done with past films, they've changed, not changed the beginning, but, started out different. So the movie would appear, just less scary, less intimidating. And I think unintentionally that happened with this.
Yeah. I like the opening too. I think it's one of the best of any I've seen for a film. Has anyone watched Hello, Dolly? The White Cookie Sheet, it's Totoro.
Oh, our high school did it a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't remember any of it.
I've actually watched Hello, Dolly after seeing this, just to see what the connection was. And, like, yeah, there is a relation between the choice of this song and the movie, because basically both of them sort of encourage the characters sort of to go outside their own world, you know, to meet other people and fall in love and that kind of thing. So I think it was a very good song choice on Stanton or Bert or whoever chose this song's part, you know.
Unfortunately, I've never seen Hello, Dolly. I definitely want to see it, but it's really hard to get this movie in decent quality on DVD. Apparently, the only these versions that exist have really terrible picture quality, and I don't really want to buy such a DVD.
You should watch it. It's a good film.
I think there's a really great contrast between the opening song and now this score, which sounds totally different, and you really can almost hear this depressing, eerie atmosphere of the deserted planet.
Ah, oh, so sad. He cannibalizes other Wall-Es to repair himself.
And here we have the first live-action scenes in a Pixar film. It really makes sense here. You use this to use these two different styles for the past and the future. And it fits quite well. Actually, it fits even better than the animation put into some live-action films, especially. Mm-hmm. Like, even though the humans in the past look really totally different from the humans we'll see later on in this film.
Those are the flamingos from Knick Knacks, I think. The, the snow, you know that, snowman, snow globe Pixar shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could bet there's probably a reference to every single Pixar feature or short in this truck here somewhere, but most of them you never see.
The toaster.
I just love this contraption that he uses to watch this film.
What is it? Is this some sort of video projection device or something?
I guess it's basically a videotape recorder hooked up to an iPod, which displays it, and then a giant magnifier lens put in front of it to enlarge the image.
And the spork. I think they did a really good subtle transaction here, because I don't remember when I was listening to it at one point, and I noticed it went from like directly from put on your Sunday clothes to like a second pause, and then it was it only takes a moment, and I was like, because you know, there's stuff in between, and it's like, oh, huh, you just don't notice it.
There were a lot more scenes in between, but I guess just for convenience sake, they cut them out.
Oh, yeah.
This year just looks almost... Exactly like the scene at the end of the first teaser trailer, which we saw, this Dwally looking up at the sky. And this is what really sold it for me, that this is going to be an awesome movie. Just the way they managed to put this incredible longing into his eyes, which are apparently just a bunch of metal and glass. This is really what makes Pixar shine above all other animation studios.
I remember when I was learning about this, I was just following the Wikipedia page they had on this. And I remember at one point it said that the movie is mostly made up of robot sounds. And I went over to my best friend's house that day. I was like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe it. It's going to be all robot and no talking. And she just looked at me. She's like, are you crazy? Have you gone insane? All the prices you pay for being a fan.
But I actually like it, you know, when they don't really speak English or any other language, because then you sort of have to guess what are they trying to express, you know, and that's what makes them, I guess, appealing or cute to the audience, you know. Because it's kind of like you have a pet dog or, you know, a cat or anything, and you're like trying to guess, you know, what is he or she trying to say, you know? And, yeah, that's what I find interesting about this, that they don't have to say a single word of English, or if there's any, it's just mostly their names, and you can instantly tell what they are feeling or, you know, what kind of emotions they are going through right now.
I was coming up frame with him looking at the cockroach at Hal. I think that was the first screenshot I ever saw of this, aside from the trailers. And I remember I would sit there for like 30 minutes and I would just look at the detail. And it was like, I mean, like they painted on rust, but just if you stare at it, that's when you notice. And I also have the, where he's looking at the box in the rink. It should be coming up pretty soon. And it just, everything just looks so real in that, I don't know, however many centiseconds of time it is, but just geez. Just geez.
Yeah, they're good at photorealism, but it's not exactly the kind of like, you know, hyper-realism that you see in like Final Fantasy films or anything. Is that kind of, you can tell it's a cartoon, but there's that sense of detail.
Reality.
Yeah, you know, like there's this intricateness to it, you know? It's, yeah.
I think it's really believability. You absolutely buy it. Even though you know it's not real because it looks a bit odd, but absolutely believable in a way.
Suspension of disbelief, yeah. Seriously, what are the chances of a spaceship sent to, you know, recon Earth landing, you know, in the same city as Wally and, like, you know, within walking distance of his house or whatever, you know? Like, the chances, the odds of that happening is probably, like, 1 in 1,000,000, you know? I like this shot. I think that's a bit of defined dancing there.
Yes, that's the same melody, and in fact the same melody as the end credits song, Down to Earth.
Is it?
Yes. I think it was also mentioned on the commentary of the DVD or something.
Oh.
You don't notice it right away, but when you really listen for it, you notice that it's the same.
Wow.
That's why Peter Gabriel also has credits for Defined Dancing and this song.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I wonder, right, why does Eve need, like, a hand cannon if she's just, you know, looking for plants' life? I mean, I think that, you know, after so many years, like, Earth will be pretty much devoid of any signs of life or anything. Hell, the invincible cockroach. Does anyone understand what she's saying?
She's saying, Floyd, I think she's saying,
Floyd.
Oh, I thought she said, "Who are you?"
Oh,
yes,
who are you?
If you turn on the subtitles, you will see it.
Oh, I always wondered what she was saying. I thought it was like Floyd or, you know, something. Now I know.
I know it was just a oh my gosh moment when that happened, because my sister, we were sitting there watching it. She stood up. She said, "Oh my gosh, I know what she's saying." I think this was a good months ago.
Oh,
it took us a while to figure out.
Oh, so it's not just me.
Oh, no.
Is this Armstrong? I think it's Armstrong on the soundtrack, La Vie en Rose.
Let me see.
Oh, did Edith Piaf sing this? I'm not quite sure.
I'm looking it up right now.
Ah, cool.
I've never heard this song before seeing this movie.
Seriously, Totoro? It's a really, like, I thought it was like the French love song.
I don't know, maybe I heard it, but didn't remember. But really, it's to me, it was completely new.
Mm-hmm. It's a penetrator?
Yeah.
It's really obvious. There are several of these inside jokes that are really obvious in this movie.
Oh.
What a nice campfire.
I love this scene. It's so cute. What did she say?
I don't know.
I didn't know what she said the first time, but then she said the directive in four different languages, one of them German and then Japanese, and then one African language, I think.
Oh, what did she say before she asked directive? Totoro, what did she say before she asked that?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to the subtitles there, but I understand three of those four words she said, and then the last one I remember from reading the screenplay that there was some African language.
Never mind. It was before
that I missed.
I need to get subtitles for this.
Yeah. Oh, that's a better one. I think this dust storm scene went pretty well. Just, you felt like you were in it when it's coming at you. And, the characters aren't it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I remember I loved popping bubble wraps when I was a kid. That was so fun.
Nowadays, I think of that iPhone iTouch application where you try to pop the bubbles as fast as you can.
Oh,
and that's what you feel like you're doing.
I didn't know they had an app for that.
Here's this. I found this on DB. When Eve first speaks to Wally, shortly after blowing the ship apart, she cycles through various languages. One of these languages, Hutti, spoken by Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars. So I wonder if that was the first one.
Really?
That's what it says.
Wow, that's a cool in-joke, I guess.
Yes, this probably one of those Star Wars connections why I've been Burt, who did the sound design for many of the famous Star Wars sounds. He probably snuck that in.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Epic fail. He tried to grab Eve's hand.
Wondering all the time why he always calls her Eva instead of Eve. It almost sounds as if you mix the German and the English version of the name 50-50. In German is Eva, and German and English Eve, so Eva is basically the mix.
Oh. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Does Eve's, like, you know, her Blu-ray scan, when she was looking for Plants Life, does it remind you of, like, the Mirage, you know, when Mirage first contacted Mr. Incredible in The Incredibles, you know, that PDA she gave him in the envelope? The scan race sort of looked like the PDA's scanner when it was inspecting Bob's room. Does any of you guys remember that scene, or is it just me?
I think I know what you're talking about.
I forgot to mention that just now, but yeah. Nah.
I guess they look a bit similar, but I don't know how much difference, if any, there is between them.
Yeah. No, I should go and type that out in the in-jokes thread. Yeah, that would be good.
That would be good.
I like this song too. It's very cheesy.
It is.
Ba ba ba. Ba ba.
That must be boring, playing Pong against no one.
Oh.
How many rounds was that? 199 or something?
I saw 8,000 on here.
But that may sound like a lot, but if you take into account that it's maybe 1 minute every round, which was probably, it was probably less than 1 minute, but assuming each round took 1 minute, that would just be over 2 hours that he's been playing with her. Hong.
You know, amongst all these trash games, there's supposed to be, oh, wait. I think I just answered my own question. I was about to ask if they've seen the Boo trash box block from, Monsters, Inc.
The last one?
You know, in Monsters, Inc., when Sully supposedly thinks that Boo goes through the trash compactor they have there.
There was a trash cube there just now that looks like the one from Monsters, Inc.?
I think so, but just turned on its side. I'd have to look at that again.
Wow.
I'd be surprised if this trash cube isn't in there somewhere where you can really see it or not. As far as in-joke goes, it's pretty much a no-brainer for me.
How do you climb the rocket so fast? Did he jump or something?
I think so. Yeah, magic skills.
Ah, nice shot. Hell in the rocket. I like that. I think that's the Russian Soyuz satellite or something.
Was this famous line from Toy Story 2? Two words. Sputnik.
Ah, Sputnik, yeah. Yeah, you can see the skull of the Earth. The continents, referring to my comment just now, the continents of Earth in that shot resembled a skull, which was supposed to show, like, you know, Earth was dead and devoid of life. It was there's a lot of nice symbolism throughout WALL-E. You know, it was just one of them. Oh man, this is so beautiful. This is so magnificently awesome.
Really, some of the most beautiful space shots ever in this film. It's really magnificent.
Yeah. Oh, look at those space dust. Did anyone cry during this scene? I didn't, but my jaw was like just dropping. I saw it. It's so, like, and the music, you know, wow. Just credit, you know, yeah, it's really good.
I think it's really crazy how they introduced the axiom behind the cloud, but it has like, cloud something explosion with the purple silver, the purple lining around it. That's like,
I think some people have been, postulating, like guessing that the dust, that the cloud storm around the axiom is supposedly where they derive their resources from. You know, like food and air and all that. So, you know, it's sort of like a settlement or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. I've never heard that before, but I guess that makes sense.
I don't really know quite how to say this, but yeah, you know. Here comes Mo.
Oh, he's so great.
Yeah.
Pixar really knows how to. Yes, the cuteness level turned up to 11, really. I never understand why Ben Burtt didn't get an Academy Award for his awesome sound design.
Yeah.
Just this.
It's such a waste.
Just this. Whoa of Mo. This alone should want an Academy Award. It's so incredibly funny.
Yeah. I swear the Oscars were rigged or something.
Not as big as the Annie Awards though. Where Kung Fu Panda won 11 and Wall-E 0.
Yeah, the Annie Awards, right? That was such a scam. Sham. And I was so disappointed when Peter Gabriel didn't get best song. I think it was Slumdog instead who got it, but yeah.
I remember watching the Oscars, and when they sang the two songs from Slumdog, and they sang Down to Earth, and I wouldn't have voted for it. I think it was just performed very bad.
I know the Academy was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was too rushed, but yeah, that was a bad call.
Yeah.
You know that kind of feeling when you're trying to ease out into traffic?
I like it. There's one bot he runs into and it like squeaks back. Like,
hey, watch where you're going.
Yeah. I think this is crazy how they do the, with the screens in front of them. Cause.
Yeah.
I don't know if they meant it or not, but I kind of feel like that's where we're headed. Cause we've got, like, all these cell phones. We now have the internet on a decent screen. So. It's like.
It's like a chilling prophecy of the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's John Ratzenberger, I think. As, John.
As John.
Yeah. He's like, he has to like have a voice role in like every Pixar movie.
I've noticed that whenever they do the look through Wally's eyes, like, you know, he has the direction thing in between his two eyes, his eyes, I guess. And each time he turns around on the ship, it has a different direction. So, or one, I like that detail, but two, You never knew the ship had a magnetic poles on it.
Oh. You mean it's got like an internal compass or something?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
On its heads up display kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Again, I like the kind of symbolism they did with John and Mary. They seem to have been enlightened by Wally or in some way. Like, they kind of got snapped out of this, out of being trapped in this, you know, they got snapped out of the hover chair, so their clothes turn red to sort of signify that they've been enlightened by Wally in some way.
Really wake up call.
Yeah, that's what. I didn't know we had a pool.
I think it's funny they have it and nobody's in it. I don't know how it feel though. 72 degrees outside.
I just wonder who came up with this silly idea of a typing bot.
Yeah, if you look at this keyboard, it's just zeros and ones, binaries. I can wave.
Yeah. I remember going to the movies, and I think I just learned about the A113, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try to find it in here, because I couldn't find it in Ratatouille. I still can't, even though I know where it is. Mm-hmm. But I've looked, I'm like, and I was going to find it, and then it showed it on the screen, and I was like,
in your face.
You've got to be kidding.
Not really subtle there, was it? But, yeah... I guess that was one for the fans.
I think the captains of the Axiom, they're all named after Pixar crew. The first one is the co-writer, Jim Reardon, I think.
Cool. I was just about to mention that.
Oh, wow. He takes ages to recline his chair. Bring his chair up.
I like how he is more thinks the morning announcements before talking to Otto about what would potentially take them back to Earth.
Yeah, it shows that he's like so bored that the only thing that he looks forward to every day is actually making the morning announcements. You know, it's the only thing I get to do all day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that would be so proud of achievement. It's really funny. This player just does almost a spelling karaoke for him. For difficult word.
I think this really shows how far they've gotten technology on the movie by using the book. He's telling him to open it, Manuel. God, I had that line in my head for weeks.
This reminds me of a similar scene from the fourth Star Trek film. Also, it's really the same. And this actually references like this. I think like that occur quite often in science fiction films. Just like the obligatory reference to 2001, Space Odyssey.
Oh yeah. Man, I want to watch 2001. I think that track, The Blue Danube, that was played earlier, was also played in 2001.
Yes, it's also from 2001.
Oh, you've watched it?
A long time ago.
Oh, I heard it's real good. Double take. See, I don't get this part. Why is there like a Gaussian blur on Eve when Wally stares at her? Maybe it's like a love sight kind of thing. Like he's like that love haze or something.
That's what I think it is too, yeah.
Hmm. Hmm. I think they may have switched it when Wally fell through the hole.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Because we don't really see what goes on in the bridge when Wally was in the captain's quarters, so mm-hmm. I think that's when they took it out of Eve.
I like her face right there. When I have to tell her she's defective, she's like, seriously. Ugh.
Captain's like, oh, what the fudge? Oh, cold shoulder.
whenever I watch this repair ward scene, I always think of like both a, like a animal shelter, not shelter, but like, you know, they have the vacation places and they're all in their cages. And then I kind of think of it also as like a daycare.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. It's like a daycare center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like a nursery or something.
Yeah.
He's got a gun. Oh, Matrix time.
I like how they did the glass breaking, you know, technical thing.
Yeah. Like it's all his fault.
Oh, he looks really ticked off now.
I like the voice of Elisa Knight as Eve. I believe she's also the voice of the Miata twins from Cars, Mia and Tia. I've heard of ships having self-destruct mechanisms, but escape pods?
Yeah, but it's the same thing. It doesn't really make sense, even having one.
Yeah. I think that's Sigourney Weaver's voice.
I remember when I first saw the scene, and they showed it on Disney Channel. I think it was, and I walked in like, good 2-3 seconds after it started. And I would watch, I got really big into Disney Channel because I would try to watch it, and I would try to wait for them to put the scene on again. They never did.
Oh, so they actually kind of spoiled that scene, or?
Yeah, but, it wasn't that bad of a spoiler, because it only made me look forward to it more, I guess.
I like how she globs him. And the kiss, oh yeah. You can see like his power level sort of like fluctuates. Beep, 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 beep. I think most of us will agree that this is like the best scene of the movie, or at least one of the best scenes, you know. And this is like personally my favorite track of all, Define Dancing.
Same here. I think what also helps this the scene a lot is that, you know, you have the whole beginning and it's just them two, and from the time Wally basically gets on the ship to now, it's the humans, and you really want to go back to what the beginning of the movie was, just because it was so great. And
just
then,
the two of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is also a pivotal scene for John and Mary. So, yeah, it's... Hey, your buddy John! Put his hands on her. Oh, that's a nice move. This part where they play the violins just makes me want to cry. It's so beautiful.
I used to own the soundtrack, like on my iPod and stuff, and I was gonna go through it, so I cleaned it off. And I realized, wrong computer, I did not have the soundtrack on here, and it killed me.
Oh man, that must suck.
But I bought that, the greatest hits thing, mainly because of that song, because I haven't been given any money for iTunes or anything recently, since I've deleted that, so I was like, I gotta buy it.
Oh, I want to get the greatest hits too. They have songs from all the Pixar movies, right? There's even one from Up, I think.
Yeah.
Carl goes Up or something like that.
Yeah, it's the one that they were gonna put on there is one I think I like more, but the Carl Goes Up song that one's really good too.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I still haven't watched the Bernie short.
It's a good one.
Although it contradicts the film a bit. There are some scenes that are slightly modified.
Oh. But I heard it's like the events of the movie from a different perspective, sort of like vantage points or something, you know? I like those kind of like, you know, multiple perspectives kind of things, so Yeah.
It's... Let's see.
Yay! I like Jeff Garlin. I want to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think he was in that show, that TV show. He's the voice of the captain, Jeff Garlin.
I think this was a weird thing when Eve's playing back, put on your Sunday clothes, and the captain's like, hey, I know that. It's like, of all the songs, how did those get picked?
Yeah, it's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? Is Ben Burtt, like, actually the voice of Wally? Like, I mean, does he actually say the English words that Wally says?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, so that's... It is? So it's his voice modulated to become a robot's voice. Is it?
Yes, and he did the voice for Mo as well.
Oh! Wow. I've said this before in an earlier commentary, but this scene reminds me of Die Hard, where he, like, climbs the air vents. Or pretty much any action movie where the hero has to, like, climb through air ducts and stuff. Moments of epiphany. You can see he actually auto calls Gofor in his heads up display just now.
Mm-hmm.
Otto's an interesting character because he's not really evil in the classical sense, but rather he's sort of programmed to follow his directive. And it's because he cannot see beyond it that he ultimately becomes the villain of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
When the captain says, "Home, Otto," I don't think Otto can ever get this, really, the meaning of home.
Yeah, what it means, it's quite sad. For
people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that part always makes my stomach churn when Otto gets Wally.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't taste me, bro. No, but seriously, that is quite a terrible scene.
I just love the idea of these computer mice.
Yeah.
And they even name them.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Go on. do you say their names? Oh, anyway. No. Did you mention they're called Remy's, Totoro?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a... good joke to, good in joke to Ratatouille.
Sigourney Weaver and airlocks, that rings a bell. Sorry, my son.
I believe in the deleted scene that Wally actually saves Eve at this point. But Andrew Stanton decided to change it so that to give Eve's character developments more weight, I guess. Because there would be no points if Wally saved Eve. There had to be some sort of change in Eve's attitude at one point, at some point. So they had to rewrite that part of the movie at the last minute.
I love the way Andrew Stanton describes it as fixing the dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching that last night and he referenced that. That's a pretty interesting metaphor.
Fixing the dinosaur?
Yeah. Where he's like, you have a bone here and a bone here, but you don't know where, so you can try to make it from that. That's an interesting concept.
I've never heard of that metaphor before.
Yeah, I think it's close enough to his words. He's where you're trying to make it and you find out that it's actually not a Stegosaurus, it's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And, but somebody has to stand up and say, hey, this isn't right. This is what we need to do to fix it.
Oh, where was this mentioned?
In the film commentary. I think, probably in the first part, I think.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah.
Oh. So time's the charm. I like the way how they showed, like, her HUD showing, like, oh, you know, you have to bring this to the superior. And, like, the first time she did that, and the second time she sort of thanked Wally for it before Divine Dancing. But this time she actually, like, rediscovered her true purpose to life, which was that Wally was her directive all along, in that sense.
I like how he says that. Wrong.
Wrong. Van Gogh's my favorite reject bot. What are your favorite reject bots, Totoro and the Wise Cookie Sheet?
Hard to say.
Do you guys have a favorite one, or?
Either the beauty bot, I guess, or the massager. Just.
Pretty and, hands, yes. Right?
Yeah.
What about you, Toto?
I think this little bot that pushes Wally forward in the scene where directly after the escape. There's this scene where they are blocked by all these steward bots. They say halt, and then a little robot pushes Wally forward a bit.
I don't know what robot was that. I think was that lights? No, I'm not sure.
I love this. Captain thinks he's being all discreet.
I'm locked in my room. Help me.
They can even think that Otto and the others won't hear this. So funny.
I like how all the other reject bots ran away just now. Except for the few that actually helped Wally and Eve, of course.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Wow, the captain sure is good with electronics. No! No, I actually felt sorry for Gofor. I don't know whether it was supposed to be funny, but I actually felt pity for him.
I think he was my favorite, I guess, evil bot in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm the only person that finds it funny, but when ever, like, the plant comes in the conversation, and, like, whenever he tries to be threatening, he more or less throws his arms up and then basically hisses at them. I'm the only person I know that laughs at that.
Yeah. I think Gofor should be a female bot rather than a male. I mean, what kind of like male bot hisses, you know, when you're trying to intimidate someone? I don't get this part. Why do they gather everyone into this central location? just to watch the plants being put into that hatch or whatever it is.
I think you might. Whoa. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. I think you might have answered your question.
Just keep talking.
Okay. I think you might have answered your question with that one, because it's supposed to be like, in this 5-year cruise, they're supposed to have, just be like the final party, I guess. And they're all about to leave, and they're like, everybody's together. And, I think eventually, you know, it files them out through the doors to get them on the platform at the very end. Back to Earth.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that would make sense. Get ready to have some kids. Oh man. You know, I used to dislike Pixar movies back before I actually became a fan, because the scenes just have a way of just everything just keeps going wrong and it just gets worse and worse, you know? I guess that's what makes Pixar movies interesting, because you actually see how the characters react to these like increasingly dire situations. Yeah. Oh, just great.
Oh, yeah.
When he's crushed by the holiday detector, you really think there's no way to fix him now.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Aha, 2001. Otto
is relieved and Manuel can take over.
Oh, come on, wouldn't it be quicker just to toss the shoe at Eve rather than like passing it from hand to hand? But, oh.
I think they did this scene really well, because it's supposed to be like this joyous thing. They're all going back to Earth. And I think it's one of the, for me, it's the third saddest part of the whole movie. Very closely behind.
Go on. Follow closely by.
Oh, follow closely by. When they're trying to fix him in the garbage area, and at the very end when Wally is a Wally, but not the Wally.
Mm-hmm.
From the movie.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. You know, mourning his demise and all that. I like this track too. I want to find out the name of it. Just hold on a bit. I'll go and search it up.
I think it is Hyperdrop. I still have the window open from earlier. So.
Oh, is it?
Yes. It's about a minute long, but it's really good.
Yeah, I think it's Hyperdrive. Yep. Uh-huh. Hyperjump, sorry. Hyperjump. This scene stretches credibility a bit, but I guess we just go along with it just to see that all we want to do is just to see Wally get fixed. So we sort of suspend our disbelief that Eve can fix him that fast.
Mm.
Good as new. Oh, the mech power up.
Because at this point, when I watched this for the first time, I really bought it that maybe they would end this movie in a 50-50 happy sad way instead of 100% happy.
Yeah.
I guess then.
Would you guys have preferred it? You know, would it be more emotionally powerful if they sort of ended it in a sad way, or, you know, does this go against the movie's message, you know, that, oh, you know, everything will turn out all right, you know, if you believe in your love and all that, you know? Would you guys have preferred to have a happy or sad ending?
I like the ending they have now because, I don't remember what I saw, but it was a movie I saw recently within the past few months, and it ended, like, in a really bad ending, and everybody thought that the movie was really bad because of the ending.
Oh.
And I play in band, and they tell us that at the beginning of a show and at the end of the show is the parts that are most remembered. So I'm glad they ended this like they did. Cause I don't know. I mean, I cried, and it was just that. Not sobbed, but just, I teared up, and I was like, I was about to believe they were going to end it like that.
I didn't cry because I sort of knew they couldn't like have such a sad ending. I was a bit like Totoro, like maybe 50-50, but I sort of knew deep down inside that they would do a happy ending. But I felt like my heart was being squeezed or something. I didn't cry, but I felt really heartbroken, you know? So like, oh, this, it can't go this way, man. You know, he can't just forget about her after all this, you know? But yeah, I think it's a good ending because if he forgot about her and, you know, it's all back to square one, then, you know, what was the purpose of the entire movie, you know? It just doesn't tie in with the general theme of, you know, love against all odds, you know, what Andrew Sanders said, irrational love defeats life's programming, you know?
Yeah. Let's see.
Pizza plans. Pizza plans. We should grow some pizza plans.
Have a race.
Oh man, don't you guys love this song?
It is running in.
I don't quite know how to describe it. Like, it feels, it's just that tinkling of the chimes and, you know, that the Peter Gabriel and all that, it just makes you feel very nostalgic for some reason. Like, like it's kind of, oh, I feel all warm and fuzzy, and this is such a heartwarming song, and it's good.
It's really one of these songs that... Go ahead.
Sorry, Toto?
Okay. I think it's one of the songs that really fit perfectly for the movie. Because of the lyrics, it really ties in very well. There are many movies where they have some pop song tacked at the end, over the end credits, which has no connection to the movie whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, as if the song is really a part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just a perfect, you know, end credits. You know, song is nice. I like the progression of the art styles throughout the, basically it's just human civilization got to be boots, so it's like, oh, you know, oh wow, human history all over again. We go to the Renaissance, you know, hieroglyphics, Egyptian paintings, you know. And, all forms of art style. I think this is Van Gogh. Oops, sorry.
Yes, looks very much like. And the final art style, so to speak, basically this year, this 1980s computer game style animation. I just love that.
After seeing the movie in theaters, I got the game for Christmas, and I'd expected it to be like an 8-bit platform like this. No.
Well, is the game good?
It's, I have the DS version. I don't know if it differs from each kind, from each platform, but it's definitely challenging. Like, it's a puzzle game. If you read on sites and stuff, they're like, oh, it's easy. I just beat it last week.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I want to play the PC version. The computer Windows thing. Mm-hmm.
I tried the demo version, but I didn't really quite like it. It's really difficult making a good game out of a movie. There are not that many games that really capture this really well. But then again, it's much more difficult to make a good movie out of a computer game, and no one so far has ever...
Even harder the other way around, right?
Ever since the curse of Super Mario Brothers, which will probably last forever.
Oh, jeez.
Doom, Street Fighter, all these movies, man, what the heck.
And I bet even Prince of Persia will probably suck completely, even though all the right people are involved to make this a great movie, including the creator of the game, but that's no guarantee either. Look at Wing Commander. And mess this ended up even with Chris Roberts directing. But I guess all the games which they develop for the Pixar movies are probably, I think, at least okay for.
Yeah, they're okay. They're one of the better ones. This is probably the only movie which I've... No, not the only, sorry. One of the two movies that I've watched twice in theaters last year. The other one was The Dark Knight. And, like, I rarely watch movies twice in cinemas. It's like a once in a blue moon kind of thing. So that just goes to show that, you know, wow, this movie is just so amazing that it warrants a second viewing in cinemas. I saw it on the last day of its screening in Sydney.
Nice.
How many times do you guys watch it?
In theaters, I think 2 or 3 times.
Wow.
It's three times. I initially watched the German version and then the English version and then the German version together with my father, and he also absolutely loved the movie.
Yeah, I saw it 3 times, and then once I got the DVD, I had the whole thing memorized. I mean, granted,
over and over again.
That much. Yep. I like
no,
that.
No. Wow. it's the movie that you'll fall in love with.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that'll make a good tagline. Yeah, that'll make a good tagline. The movie that you'll fall in love with. WALL-E. But yeah, I like it. I think it's a close tie for Cars in my top, like my number one Pixar movie so far.
You're one of the few people who would put Cars at the number one spot. Yes.
I like Cars because I'm sort of an automotive geek, and like it's just a no-brainer, kind of like, oh, turn off your mind and watch. It's a fun movie, but whereas Cars is the kind of film I can watch again and again, WALL-E is like the movie which like, It's sort of like a treat. Like, I don't watch it very often, you know, because it's just so magnificent that I can't bear to. I don't want to spoil my memories of it by watching it too many times. You get what I mean? But Cars is like, oh, it's just fun. But WALL-E is stupendously awesome. So I don't. Yeah, it's a different kind of love. You get what I mean? Hey, it's the end. I remember staying back in theaters to watch that last bit in DNL.